Would you please turn over to Habakkuk? It's one of those little tiny books toward the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk. It's past Jonah. It's past Micah. It's past Nahum. It is before Zephaniah. Brother Martin, my Bible ain't got none of them books in it. Well, you need a new Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2. And I know these aren't the kind of books that most people typically read on a regular basis. And I know that for some people it can take time to find these kind of books, especially if you've never spent a lot of time, you know, trying to memorize the books of the Bible. When I was in church, that was something that we had to do, you know, memorize the books of the Bible. And then, you know, you would repeat them to your teacher in class, and if you got it right, then you got some kind of a present. What I got was a Bible. It was, in fact, I still have that Bible, maybe back in my office. And yeah, it's old. It's really old. But I believe I still have that Bible. And I remember I was, you know, so pleased to be able to get that. It was, you know, for a little kid, that means something very special. So anyway, I'm assuming that you have found Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he, God, will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. In other words, I kind of like this. And he's going into it and he's saying, you know what? I'm going to stand upon my watch. Set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say. In other words, you know what? I'm just going to pull up a chair and sit here and see what he's going to say. And the part where he says, and what I shall answer when I am reproved, he's assuming that the Lord is going to pass along some correction to him. And that's not so bad, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And therefore, we should be glad when God says something to us like, you know, you got some stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with. Here's what it is. Always assume he knows more than you about you. Always assume that he sees things in your life that you don't see. Always assume that if he says something shouldn't be there, it shouldn't be there. And don't say, well, yeah, but, you know, they have it. Assume that for you, he sees it as being more of a problem than for somebody else. So Habakkuk says, you know, I'm just going to sit here and wait, see what he has to say. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, take what I'm going to give you, put it in writing, make it clear, so that whoever reads it will be able to understand it. Now look at this third verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So what he's telling Habakkuk is this. Don't rush it. Don't rush this. You wait. It's coming. You wait until it happens. Because it is going to happen. But don't push it. Don't rush it. Just wait. Now I want to tell you how that passage came to pass in my own life. Many years ago, when Kathy and I were first pastoring, and I say when we were pastoring, believe it or not, a lot of Christians get really honked off if the pastor's married, but he doesn't include his spouse as the, you know, like a lady pastor, husband, you know, whatever, as pastoring with them. And even though I understand what they're saying, you know, Kathy's not pastor, but yet she's a part of me. And so we share in this responsibility. But when we were pastoring at the first church, it was south of Dayton, about 20 miles. We were there for, I don't know, about 2 years. And in prayer, the Lord began to give me a vision, a ministry vision. Because I prayed and I asked Him, you know, okay, here I am. Because see, I didn't even want to pastor at first. I even told Him that. I'll do anything you want, but I'm not going to pastor. I just want to travel around the world. You know, all these wonderful places. Because in my mind, I was going to go preach in wonderful places. I wasn't going to go preach in the jungles or anything like that. All these wonderful places. All these churches, these congregations are going to love me. They're going to give me these big offerings. And people are going to order my tapes. Because in my mind, I'm selling tapes and all this. And I'll get all these big offerings and then, you know, I'll just go home. And anybody that's mad about it, what a pastor can deal with it after I'm gone. But life is going to be great. Just like it is for all those preachers on the television. And all the preachers that come into our church have these big ministries. So that was my vision. And I got to thinking about all this. It's like, well, you know, that really probably isn't the best attitude to have. So God, I'll tell you what. If you want me to pastor, I'll do it. Now, you already know how I feel about this. And you know I don't want to. But I am willing. I'll do it. And I'll be obedient. Well, you know, within a month I was pastoring. It's definitely not my plan. That's why it worked out. So there we are at this church. About 2 years into it, into pastoring. You know, I'm praying and asking God for direction. What do we do and so forth? What do you want done? And He began to give me this vision. Now, when I say vision, I'm not talking about, you know, I saw things. Call it in the secular world, we would call it a business plan. And some people can relate to that term. So what is your ministry spiritual business plan, God? So He began to give things to me. And I did what it says. You know, I put it in writing. And then I printed it out. And then I shared it, I mean, made copies. And we had a special service and I shared it with the congregation there at the church. And they were excited about it. And it even included a change in the name of the church from what it was to Grace Christian Center. Well, it didn't work out. And it wasn't because the congregation was against it. It was because the church was a part of a denomination, and there was nothing in the vision that contradicted the platform of the denomination. Nothing at all contradicted it. But let's just say, you know, I was under authority in that denomination. And even though I was the pastor of the church, the one to whom I answered decided that that wasn't the way to go. So, you know, let's just kind of leave it at that. And so I went to God, you know, and I'm praying about that. Now, I knew what He had given me. I knew that I didn't just, you know, make all this up. Oh, it went through revisions between then and now. But, in other words, the revisions were God gave me more clarity. He crystallized, if you will, you know, made it more crystal clear. But I knew that God had given this to me. I knew He had. But yet it got shot down. And so, I knew inside that my days in that organization, in that denomination, and as the pastor of that church, had in effect ended the day that this ministry vision was rejected. But at the same time, I was still the pastor of that church. So I knew what God had called me to do, and I knew what I was supposed to do. And I did not in any way, shape, or form back down from my responsibilities in that church or to those people. I did not change my approach. In fact, I continued trying to make progress and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I figured I would help God in the fulfillment of that vision. Now, my heart and my zeal were right, but they were misplaced. My heart was right, my zeal was misplaced. But anyway, I began looking for a building that could be used to house what God had shown me to do. So I'm looking around at different buildings, and I'm talking to people and so on and so forth and on and on. And anyway, that continued for, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months, 4 months. But then I prayed. I said, God, I know what you've called me to do. And I know that my time here has come to an end. However, I will stay here at this church and I will pastor forever until Jesus comes back. I am not going to make this happen. I'm going to continue doing everything I can to the best of my ability right where I am. And that's what I did. And I left it up to him. I said, you know, when you do this, it's going to happen. So I left it up to him. And so, you know, 6 months go by. A year goes by. A year and 6 months go by. 2 years go by. Said, boy, I'll bet you were getting pretty frustrated, weren't you? No, I wasn't. Because I had made a determination, this is where I am now. And I am going to stand my ground in my tower. You know, like what he's talking. I'm going to stand my ground in my tower, and I'm not going to move. And I'm going to do everything I can to help the people of this flock grow spiritually in the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to help them, and I'm not going to back down. I am going to act like I'm here forever. And that's how I pursued it, and that's what I did. Well, to make a long story short, the day came when God moved me from where I was to here. And I wasn't looking to walk into this building to become the pastor of the people who were here. I was just helping them minister on Sunday nights as they were looking for a pastor. And I told them, I said, look, I'm not coming to candidate for this position, but I'll help you while you look for a pastor. And then, you know, they came back eventually and said, well, you know, could we consider you? I said, yes, but don't take that as my indication I will accept if you offer. But yes, you can consider me. Well, God had told me he was sending me here, but I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell Kathy till after she came to me and she said, you know, I think God's going to send us there. It was called Harvest Church at the time. And I said, well, now that you said that, you know, here, let me tell you what God told me in prayer. But we were the only ones that knew at that time. And if she had never come to me and said that, I would never have told her. God was going to work all this out. I wasn't going to do anything. Just keep praying and all this. Well, anyhow, it ended up, you know, they voted and here I am. But what I didn't know until some time had gone on, I mean, months, I guess, I don't remember the exact time frame, but what I didn't know was that those that, like elders, whatever, I mean, they came to me and told me, if you had said no, you weren't coming here, we were going to shut this church down. We were going to close it. Well, see, I didn't know that at the time. So I really did not start this church, but I did. I started this church. It just so happened that there were a bunch of people already here. Most all of them are gone now. You know, and we don't even have to talk about, well, why did they leave? I mean, they're gone for whatever reasons. But what I'm trying to point out to you is this. I prayed and I sought God, and He gave me a vision for His call upon my life. And I wrote it out. Then I had to wait. And some people would think, well, that waiting just must have been a horrible thing, just because you knew He was... No, it wasn't. And the reason it wasn't was because I was doing what I was supposed to do during the time of waiting. Even though, like in the realm of the spirit, it was already over. But in the realm of the natural, it wasn't where I was. And so therefore, I kept waiting. I just kept waiting. I just kept waiting. And I did not do any of this. And God worked it out. God put it together. And now here we are. The point I want to make to you is this. If you learn to wait on God, His word is going to come to pass in His timing. Now, if you push things and try to make it happen, I guarantee you, you will make something happen. And it might look really good. But it won't be what God has told you to do. I want to ask this question of you. And don't anybody respond with uplifted hand or anything like this. How many of you here tonight, listening to this after the fact, those of you watching, how many of you have ever gone to God and asked God to give you the blueprint for your life? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to see about my future, about your call upon my life? And then sit there in your tower and wait for an answer. Do you understand the imagery? You sit down at your computer, or you get your pad of paper and your pen, and you ask Him. And you wait on Him. And you wait for His direction. And you wait for His business plan for you. You wait for the blueprint. You know, however you want to call it, the vision, as Habakkuk put it. And then you write it out. How many of you have done this? What I have found is that most Christians don't even consider doing such a thing. Most Christians never even think about asking God to lay it out before them. Do you know that in the secular world, if you go before the board of directors at a corporation, and you say, okay, we're going to do this. They're going to ask you for a business plan. They're going to ask you for income and expense projections. They're going to ask you for all kinds of information. And in most cases, what they'll do is they may use some kind of a flip chart or PowerPoint or something to show here's what we expect. And in the business world, if you go to a bank to get a loan, they want your business plan. And that it's the same thing for churches too. A church can't just walk into a bank and say, well, you know what? We want to build a building. Can we borrow $1 million? Sure. Sign right here. No, it doesn't work that way. The banks are going to demand all kinds of information, donor information, not so much the names and so forth, but they want to see a pattern of the contributions and projections and a growth chart and all this other kind of stuff before they will approve or disapprove of the loan. If that's the way it works in the world, why in the world should we think that God is going to come along and, you know, move us by the seat of our pants whenever it's time to go? Why should we think that God does not want us to have some kind of spiritual business plan for our lives? Here's the thing. He already has a plan for your life. You know, in heaven, in God's office, He has all these file cabinets. And they're in alphabetical order. There's a file cabinet that's got your name on it. Or it's got the letter of your last name. Anyway, it's in there. And if you get married and change your last name, well, he just gives you a new file. He just moves everything. And he can pull that open and pull out the file that has your life's plan that he's developed for you. Now, you understand there's not really a file cabinet in heaven. But what I'm saying is God has a plan for your life. How many times have we thought of going to him and saying, you know what, God, I basically am I'm clueless here. So what I would like you to do is begin reveal to me what your plan for my life is. What do you want me to know at this point? Do you think he's not going to tell you? Do you think he doesn't want you to know? He will give you as much of his plan for your life as you need to know. Then he expects you to do your part. As you look at this plan, there are going to be some things about it that you think, well, I don't know about this right here. I never thought of anything like that. Like me, the pastoring part. I never thought of anything like that. And you know that God's right when he shares this stuff with you. So then you sit back and you begin to think, okay, if that's what's supposed to happen in my life and in my ministry, I better sit down and figure out how to do it. So then you start trying to come up with these ways to fulfill what God has shown you about his plan for your life. But you're blowing it when you do that, because it's not up to you to do something that you think will work to cause it to happen. You know what you do? Wait. You wait. Now I want to show you some verses about this. I'm going to show you several verses here tonight about waiting. Because there is a blessing related to waiting on the Lord. Start in the book of Psalms. Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. Take a look in verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So I'm asking him, show me your paths. I want to know what he's got laid out for me. I want to know what he's got set aside for my life. What have you designed for me, O God? And then I tell him, I'm going to wait on you all the day. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I just sit here in my chair and I do absolutely nothing. What it means is I'm going to go about doing what I know that I'm supposed to do right now and wait for the rest of it to begin to transpire. I'm going to wait for you to begin to put the pieces together so that I can begin moving forward on that path that you've got established for me. Look in Psalm 27. Now look here in verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I remember, not too long ago, well, it's been a while back. This has happened more than once. I received emails from men who are in ministry. And they're asking me for guidance on how to find a wife. Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? And the wife is supposed to be the helpmeet to the husband. So they're asking me, how do I find a wife? And you know, what do I do? And they have shared, well, I met this girl, and I think she'd make a great wife. I think I'd like to have her for my wife. And I reply back, does she know this? I mean, and it's incredible how that these guys are just kind of looking around. They're saying, boy, she looks pretty good. Yeah, wife. No. And I reply back to them and I tell them, stop looking for a wife. Just stop it. Because you can't look for a wife and wait on God at the same time. You can't look for a wife and search for the Lord with all your heart at the same time. You can't do it. Well, that really wasn't the answer they wanted. They weren't mean about it. And the same thing reverse, you know, women looking for husbands. I need a husband, you know, to complete me. No, you don't. You're complete in Jesus. You don't have to have a husband. Now, the whole spouse thing I'm talking about here, just one example. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you don't believe that you're going to see His goodness, then you're not going to wait on Him. Because when you're convinced, He's going to do it, He's going to move, He's going to bring it to pass. When you're convinced this is going to happen, then you're going to be able to wait on the Lord and you'll be of good courage. And He is going to be able to strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You wait on Him. You say, but there's so many things. I know that. There's so many things for all of us. But if you don't believe you're going to see Him move, then you're going to start moving for Him. You're going to create your own blessings. This is how a lot of ministries get started, how a lot of churches get started. I won't even begin to tell you some of the stories that I've heard about people that started in ministry and in church when they shouldn't have. What do you see in the Word of God? That is what you search for. That's what you look for. That's what you're waiting on, because it's going to happen. He says right here, wait on the Lord and He's going to strengthen your heart. If you feel like nothing's happening, if you feel like I'm just spinning my wheels, nothing's going on, you're not waiting on God. What you're really doing is waiting on people to step in and do something for you. But when you're waiting on the Lord and you're convinced that He's going to move and that you're going to see His goodness, you can sit back and wait. See, that's what happened with me. I knew what was supposed to happen. I knew what He had called me to do. I knew what was going to take place. But at the same time, I said, you know what? I'm just going to be of good courage. I'm just going to wait. And as I'm here in this tower, in the church where I was, I'm just going to wait. And I'm going to do everything I can to just keep doing my best. Look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, it ain't come to pass yet. Commit your way unto Him. Trust Him, and He is going to bring it to pass. It's going to happen. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Thy judgment is the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So he's telling you right, well, in fact, look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. He says, just wait on Him. Wait. Yes, but they're treating me wrong at work. You know, wait on the Lord. Yeah, but something ought to be done. Wait on the Lord. Oh, I can't stand this. Wait on the Lord. See, you're fretting yourself. Your heart is disturbed. And he says, no, don't do this. Commit your way unto the Lord. Commit everything about your life unto the Lord. That's what I did. I committed my life unto Him. My way was committed unto Him, and I waited on Him. And I waited on Him. Hey, gee whiz. Noah spent 100 years building a boat when there was no water in sight. I mean, how would you like to be building, you know, the good ship Lollipop out in the middle of a desert land? I mean, you know, with there had never been rain. There had never been a flood. And people are saying, Noah, what are you doing, buddy? You're kind of old to be playing around with all this, you know, building stuff. And well, there's a flood coming. What's a flood? Well, that's when water fills everything and you all die. You really believe that's going to happen, Noah? Oh, yeah. Well, how do you know that's going to happen? The Lord told me. Ah, hearing voices, are you? You've been around the turpentine a little bit too long here, Noah. Just, that guy waited for 100 years. He's building a boat. Nobody had ever seen a flood before. I mean, it's not like today, anything he tells you to wait for, pretty much somebody else has experienced something like it. He told Noah, you know, build the ark, flood's coming. 100 years he's waiting. Building that boat. Building that boat. Building that boat, that big old ark. Well, how am I going to get the animals in? You know, people that say, well, Noah went out and got all the animals. No, he didn't. The Lord said, you build it and they will come. And that's what happened. He built it and God went out. You know, he starts herding the animals. Can you imagine that sight? Here it is. The last day of ark building. The last nail has been driven. The last line of sealant has been put on there. And he sits back. It's like, whew, oh, finally I'm done. And then he hears this. He turns around and look. Here come cows. Here come camels. Here come horses. Here come all these animals. He just kind of stands back. Talk about a parade. And all these animals are just marching. And I remember it's Moses, his wife, his three boys, and their wives. They're having to herd all these animals into the right pens, into the right, all this. You know, here comes another batch. And some, there were seven of some of them. And so they had to make sure that, you know, the animals were all separated so that we didn't have incidents. Well, we started out, well, seven. I don't know where the other five went. He says, wait. Wait. And when you do, eventually what God has promised is going to come to pass. Look in Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. You begin to develop this belief, God has already done it, and now I am waiting for time to pass so that the part of his will he's already set before me, I will eventually walk right into it. I consider it done. I consider it finished because it's his plan. Now I just have to wait for the right time. It's going to come to pass. It can't not come to pass because I'm waiting on him. I'm doing what he wants me to do now, and I'm waiting on him. Look in Psalm 59. Verse 8. He's speaking about these bad people. He says, but thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. We always try to fix our problems instead of waiting on God for how to fix the problems, on what to do. Let me tell you something. There have been times over the years where negative stuff. And, you know, if I do this, fix that, you know, correct this, do no, blah, blah, blah. You know how we all do. But I can remember one time, and boy, this was not easy. Something happened, and I did this. Bad stuff was going on, but I did this waiting thing. And I said, okay, your word says we're supposed to wait. Things are going to be okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait. In fact, I'm not going to do anything but what I normally do day to day. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to wait for you to fix this. I'm trusting you. In fact, I just thank you now for it being done. And you know what? Some time went by, and sure enough, the whole thing corrected itself. And I just did nothing but wait on him. Now, when that was over, I sat back, and it was kind of like, you know, one of those big eye-opening Shazam experiences. It's like, boy, this really does work. And from that time on, and I'll admit to you now, it's a battle. When things happen, I've learned more and more how to just say, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to try and fix this on my own. I'm just going to wait on you. Even if it involves other people and decisions that they have made or need to make, I wait. I just wait. And I don't do anything. Now, you talk about a challenge. It is a challenge. But what I have found is that the more I do this, the easier it is for me to wait on him to move. But not only that, in the waiting, I have peace. My heart is of good courage. I am strengthened by him. I have his peace. And there have been times when the thing I'm waiting on has involved, let's just say, other people. And I'm seeing the frustration on other people, but I don't have that. I would have years ago, but I don't have that because I'm waiting, and I'm waiting on him. And I'm telling you, it's absolutely incredible how this works out. And then when it does work out, I don't go back and ask him, how'd you do that? I just leave it up to him, let him do it. It'll be okay. Look at Psalm 62. And pick it up here in verse 5. My soul, I'm talking to myself here now. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart to him. In other words, all the stuff that you've got bottled up on the inside about what to do, how to do it, and on and on and on it goes, pour it out to him. Let's pour it out. Unload on him. You know how people say, well, I just had to unload. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I just had to get it off my chest. Get it off your chest on him. Don't unload on other people. Pour it out on him. I'm still guilty of, you know, I unload on her, Kathy, you know, and I shouldn't. But I don't do it as much as I used to because now I'm getting better at unloading on God. Now, here's what's interesting. If you want to hear God speak, just start unloading on him. Now, he's not going to come back and, who are you talking to? No. You begin to unload on him. I mean, just pour it out on him. He already knows it's in there. He'd rather you unload on him than on somebody else. Just go ahead and do it. I mean, if you stomp your feet and everything else, whatever you normally do, just do it. Just do it. And just tell him how frustrated you are. Tell him how you don't know what to do. Tell him, just tell him, tell him, tell him. And he may come back with things like, well, what do you want me to do? Something. You know, and because when you start, if he says, what do you want me to do? And you start saying, well, I'll just strike him dead. You know, before the words leave your mouth, conviction is going to come all over you. No, that's not the right thing. I don't know. And it's like what he's trying to do is get you to figure out you don't know. You don't know. But he does. Unload on him. Just pour it out. Empty your heart to him. And then sit back and wait. Just wait. Oh, you can tell him how you think he ought to resolve the problem. He'll listen to you. And then after you've gone your way, he just looks over at Jesus and chuckles. We ain't doing it that way. We're doing it our way. At least he turned it over to us so we could do it our way. At least he's poured it out to us. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look here. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You wait upon the Lord, you renew your strength. See, these verses that we've been reading tonight, these passages, every one of them contains a blessing from God for waiting. Every one of them. It's worded differently in the different verses, but every one of them, there's a blessing in waiting. Said differently, there's a blessing in doing nothing but letting God. Letting God what? Letting God do whatever. Just releasing unto Him that part of your will, that part of your life. Look in one more passage, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Because, see, the question could come up, well, what in the world am I supposed to do while I'm waiting? I've known Christians over the years. Let me back up. Because of what I do in ministry, it's interesting. There are people that listen to the sermons, that listen to the teaching, and there are people out there who've never been to this church. They've never watched online or anything like that. All they know is the teaching they've heard. And because of that, they have this idea that this church is really big. And they have these ideas that I have this big ministry. Well, then when they find out it's not what they think, there are times when I can tell that they're trying to hide the shock on their face. You know, like, well, where's the rest of your building? This must be your personal private prayer chapel, right? I mean, this can't be the real sanctuary. Where's the real location of your church? It's like, this is it, buddy. This is, oh, okay. Well, this is nice. Really nice. Yes, it is nice. We're blessed. But because of that, I've had a lot of Christians over the years come to me and share their frustrations about their ministry. When's anything going to happen? And I tell them, look, turn it over to God. I am turning it over to God. You're not turning it over to God. When you've really turned it over to God, you don't run here and there to vent, to share your frustrations. I'm not talking about the unloading anger stuff. I'm just talking about, well, really, it's kind of over in that area of murmuring. And they've asked me, well, you know, how do I do this? How do I get started? How do I get doors to open to me? How am I supposed to, you know, get moving forward in ministry? How? And I was there at one time. So I know what that's like. Well, let me show you something from this passage here in Psalm 92. And let's pick it up here in verse 13. Here's what you're supposed to do while you're waiting on the Lord. Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. In other words, while you're waiting, you better be planted in the house of the Lord. When people bail out on God, well, you know, I'm just going to stay at home for a season and, you know, just seek the Lord. Well, okay, honestly, it's possible God could tell somebody for the next 30 days, you get in that prayer closet with me and nobody else. You have no television. You have no this, no that. You work your job. You come home. You eat your dinner or fast, whatever. And then it's you and me. You know, you got 30 minutes with the wife and kids every day for 30 days. That's it. Then it's you and me. All right? You go to bed at midnight. I know you have to get up early. I'll strengthen you, you and me, 30 days. You don't even go to church. 30 days. Now, I can see how God could do that. Problem is, there's a bunch of people that say things like that. Then you know what they do? They don't come back. It's just an excuse. Now, this thing here where he talks about they that are planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish, I want you to look at this as more than just being in church. It is a matter of being before the throne of grace. In other words, remember what I was sharing earlier about what happened with me and how that I knew that my time was done there at that other church, but I never acted like it. I kept doing everything that I could do. I kept praying. I kept seeking God. I never sloughed off on any of that. And I acted like I was going to be there till Jesus came back. That's how I approached it. That's how I want you to see this. When it comes to waiting on God, waiting on God is not a do-nothing time. Waiting on God is a continuation of seeking Him, of praying, of getting in His presence, and of remaining faithful in the church where He has planted you, where He has established you. In other words, you just keep doing what you know to do. Keep seeking, keep praying, keep, you know, fasting, the worship, you just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. But what you don't do is sit around and try to figure out, how can I make this happen? You don't. You keep doing what you know to do in your relationship with Him and let Him do the rest. That's how you wait on Him. And I'm telling you right now, if you do that, it's going to happen. You're going to flourish. I'm just so fed up with this job of mine. I just can't take. You go to that job and you perform your responsibilities like you own that company. You do diligence. You make them sorry to see you go when that day comes. Stop running your mouth and belly aching and complaining when you get home. You work like God is the one signing your paychecks. Do you understand what I'm getting at? You keep living as Christ before the world and let God work out all the details, put the pieces in order, get everything in place, and the day's going to come when something is going to open for you. Now, I don't know what that means individually for each person, but I do know this, it will happen. I know it will. See, it can't not happen because God keeps promising over and over that it will happen if you wait on Him. Now, He can give you instructions on what to do in the natural, and then you do them, and then you wait. And then you just keep the waiting process, which is spending time with Him, doing what you know to do. And it's going to work out. See, it might be 6 months. For me, it was like 2+ years. But you know what? I just kept doing what God told me to do. I just kept doing it. And the thing is, because that was my attitude, I enjoyed doing what I was doing. But I, you know, like it talks about, for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. Hey, listen, there was a joy that was set before me because God had given me a plan and I knew it was going to come to pass. That was the joy, the fulfillment of what He's called me to do. But in the meantime, I will be doing what I'm doing where I am, but I'll be doing it with joy. I will be doing it with a strengthened heart. I will be doing it with His encouragement. And then when the time comes and I move on, whoever I'm leaving, whatever that means, they won't be able to say, "Boy, are we glad he's out of here." I want you, every one of you here tonight, every one of you listening to this, every one of you watching, I want you to be encouraged with this message tonight. There is a blessing that comes with waiting on the Lord. Let Him work His work. And you just keep doing what you know to do and trusting in Him and developing yourself spiritually and seeking Him for his plan for your life, it's going to happen. It'll work out. And then when it does, you are going to be so glad that you waited. And you're going to be thinking about this sermon. And you'll come running up to me and plant a big smoochie on my cheek and say, thank you for preaching that message back then. It works. Well, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but you understand. Wait on the Lord and receive the blessing that comes with waiting.